And so today we're going to talk about something else, which is a common experience to everybody sitting here in this room, and something that every one of us has to work through, okay? And then we're going to talk about how we can deal with that from an identity that is rooted in God's word and in Christ. And so before we dive in, let me pray for us, and then we'll jump in. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that it is to freely gather with your people, to be able to open up the truth of your word and learn from it. And so, Lord, right now, I just pray, God, that you would open our hearts, Lord, to whatever you would want us to be taught this morning through the truth of your word. And I pray that your spirit would lead us and guide us in this time. And God, that you would do what only you can do. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, to kick us off this morning, I want to start with this video. So go ahead and take a look. Is that not insane? I mean, her face got absolutely schlacked by this watermelon, right? The reason that I show you that video is because this morning we're talking about how to deal with pain. Okay? And there is no doubt about it that that sister's face was in some serious pain. I mean, there's no doubt that she's concussed. But here's what I found so interesting about that video. Like, what a terrible friend. Like, what a terrible teammate. Like, here she is. Like, she can't even see. She can't even think. And her teammate is like, you have to finish. Like, there's just, like, you just got to suck it up. Like, you've got to move on. Like, we've got to finish this, right? And what terrible and unhelpful and hurtful advice to somebody whose face is probably numb and feeling a whole lot of other things in the midst of a watermelon exploding on their face, right? But here's the thing, is that the pain that we experience in life, right? Oftentimes, we are told really unhelpful and honestly hurtful advice. Right? The world looks at our pain and the things that you experience, or maybe even your friends, and they tell you, hey, suck it up. Just move on. Or time will heal all of your wounds. Or, you know, just fake it till you make it. Right? The world will tell you a lot of really unhelpful and hurtful advice in terms of how to deal with your pain. And here's what ends up happening, is that we create this illusion of ourself because we don't know actually how to deal with the pain that we experience. Right? And so before we get started, guys, we just have to acknowledge, like everybody in here has to acknowledge, pain hurts. By its very nature, pain is hurtful. The things which we experience in life hurt sometimes, right? And sometimes it causes confusion, right? It's like when a friend is diagnosed with cancer, or when your parents end up getting a divorce, or when some kid at school makes fun of you or calls you fat or calls you ugly, right? All of those things hurt. Or maybe when a family member passes away, right? Everybody in here, sitting here in this room this morning, at some time or another, have experienced tremendous pain in your life. It's common to man, right? Every one of us has. Maybe some of you have this week, and you're walking in here experiencing the weight of some pain that you've had before. And so here's what I want to do this morning, is that I want to hopefully teach you from God's word why pain exists, the unhealthy illusions that pain can cause us to want to create in our life, and then our rightful response. How can we respond according to God's word and from an identity that is rooted in Christ? And so that's where we're going this morning, is we're going to talk about why does pain exist, what are the unhealthy illusions that it can cause me to want to create in my life, and then what is my right response to the pain that I experience. And so the first thing that we're going to talk about is why does pain exist? Many of you have probably asked this question before, or why is there pain and suffering in the world, okay? So we just played Willett S'more, Anderson props that seemed disgusting, that final s'more you ate. But let's just say, for instance, like I just had my hand like casually resting over that flame, right? The whole time, right? Something in y'all would be like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you not, like, your hand is on fire. Like, something is terribly going wrong. But what if I just kept it there the whole time? I never flinched. I never did anything. You'd be like, dude, you're, like, going to get just completely consumed by flames. You're going to die. Like, something is wrong, right? Or some of y'all, I showed you my awesome nail clipper, like, a couple weekends ago. If I stuck my hand in a blender and, like, I never felt any pain, something would not be right, right? And so my point in saying that is that pain exists to show us that something is wrong. Pain exists to show us that something is wrong, that something has gone wrong. And here's what I mean by that, okay? Whenever God created the world, right? We've been talking a lot about Genesis the past couple weeks, but here's what you need to know. Whenever God created the world in Genesis, everything, it says everything that he created was good. Everything was perfect. Everything was the way that it should have been, right? And to be really clear, before the fall, before Adam and Eve chose to sin, there was no hurt. There was no pain. There was no suffering in Eden whenever God created it, because everything that he created was good. Okay? And so what happens, guys? What happens in the midst of this? Sin happens, right? Adam and Eve disobey God's commands and choose their own way. And so what that, whenever they sin, what that does is it introduces separation from God that causes pain and suffering in the world. So why does pain exist? It exists because man chose their own way instead of God's way, which introduced separation from God and allowed sin to enter the world that causes hurt and pain and suffering. Right? And so what does God do? What does he do? Here's what he does. Because he loves Adam and Eve, he uses this pain to show them something. Here's what I mean by that. If you have your Bibles, read with me in Genesis 3, verses 16 through 19. It'll be up on the screen. You can follow along with me. This is what he says. After the fall, after Adam and Eve have sinned, he says this. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so it seems in this chapter, after this sin has been introduced to the world, God introduces pain to Adam and Eve's life. Why? Why does he do that? Why would God do that? For the same reason that I would feel pain whenever my hand is over a fire, it shows me that something has gone wrong, right? God introduces pain to Adam and Eve so that whenever they experience pain, they know that God's way was the best way, and all sin leads to hurt and pain in life, right? Pain is a reminder that the world today is not as God originally created it to be. It serves as a reminder, the world that we live in today is not as God originally created it to be, okay? But God's promise is that he will restore it, right? But here's the thing. Imagine if Adam and Eve never experienced any pain or any suffering. Would they have ever known that anything was wrong with what they did? No, right? Like if there was never any pain, they would have never known anything is wrong. Right? And so the pain that we experience points us to something that is coming in the future, which is whenever God restores to earth what he originally created it to be. Okay? So pain exists in our world to show us that something has gone wrong and that something is sin, but that we can look forward to that which is going to be all made right in the future. Okay? So there's a lot of rabbit trails we could run on with pain, but for the sake of this morning, I just want to start there. Why does pain exist? And now we're going to move to how do we deal with the pain that we experience in our life? Okay, the hurts that we deal with. And to begin, we've got to identify our unhealthy illusions. What are ways that we tend to cover or mask ourselves with the pain that we experience? And it's largely probably a couple of things. One response is that you can mask your pain. You can pretend that it's not there. The second response is you can try to escape your pain. And you can try to run from it and move on and fill your life with other things. And the third thing that we can sometimes do is that we can attack others because of our pain. Okay, so look at those three, and I'm going to unpack those a little bit. I want you, as I go, to think about, hey, which one of those is my response? How do I typically respond whenever I experience pain in my life? Which one of those three most identifies with you? Here's where we're going. Okay? So the mask. The first thing that we are tempted to do is we're tempted to wear a mask that you have probably heard before the saying. How many of you heard fake it till you make it? Right? The pain which you experience, people are like, hey, just pretend it's not there. Like, act like it's not there. Just fake it till you make it and just kind of go on. Time will heal all of your wounds. But here's what that does, guys, is whenever you never allow other people to see the hurt and the pain that you experience in your life, what begins to happen is that you start to believe, hey, whenever I admit to somebody that I'm hurting or that what they just did to me was painful or that I'm confused maybe because of some of these things that I'm experiencing, what begins to happen if you wear a mask and you just pretend that life is all good, you begin to live in isolation, right? You begin to isolate yourself from other people because you're too afraid to share your burdens with other people and you're too afraid maybe that you're going to be considered weak, right? That if you feel pain and you admit it, that you, your friends might make fun of you, right? They might be like, oh man, you're weak or you're, not strong or whatever, right? And so you just wear this mask. But here's the dangerous thing about isolation. Proverbs 18:1 tells us that he who isolates himself, whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desires and breaks out against all sound judgment. If you live isolated because of your pain, guys, what's going to happen is that the loudest lies you're going to hear most often, right? And this is why people are led to responding to their pain in really unhelpful and hurtful ways in their life is because they stay isolated and then they seek their own desires. They break out against sound judgment, right? The first illusion that we can create is wearing a mask. The second thing that we can do is we can try to escape our pain. We can create this illusion that we are escape artists, right? You just try to move on, right? You just try to know that the pain is there, but you run from it and you run to other things to try to escape or maybe numb or suppress the pain that you're experiencing, right? I want to show you a picture. This is me. Y'all have seen a couple pictures, what I would have looked like if I were in Wake. Here's one of them. This was my first ever Facebook profile picture. Rocking the Air Apostle 87. I still have that same cross. It's incredible. But here's what you need to know about me in that picture. I was deeply insecure. Why? Because I dealt with a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in that time of my life. I was a little bit chubbier of a kid at that period of time. And here's what happened is that some of my friends that I was playing on a sports team with, they would call me fat. They would make fun of me and all of this stuff, guys, that pain that I was experiencing, I never really admitted it to anybody. And I just tried to run from it and I just tried to mask it. And so here's what it's like. Okay. Let's say that every one of us has a bag. Okay, every one of us has a bag that we're carrying, okay? And so every time that I was called fat or I was made fun of or I was, somebody said hurtful things to me, it's just like throwing rocks in my bag, right? And this bag suddenly, as I never deal with these rocks in my life and I never deal with the hurt and pain in my life, this bag gets heavy. It gets really heavy, right? But here was my response. Let me tell you what I did. I didn't tell other people. I tried to escape my pain. And so what I did was I ran the studies. I ran the being good at school, right? Because I was like, hey, if I'm not going to receive acceptance from other people, at least maybe I can be good at school, right? Maybe that'll solve the help or the pain that I'm experiencing. Or maybe if I work out, like maybe if I look good enough for other people, they'll accept me, right? And so I cover my bag. Or maybe if I'm good enough at sports, right? Maybe then that'll numb my pain or that'll help me heal, right? And here's what I tell you will happen is that it's miserable. It's heavy. You just get tired. And the more that you run from pain and you try to escape it and pretend that it's not there, it just gets heavier. It just gets heavier. And I ran for a really long time and it just got heavy and wearisome, right? And the more, guys, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has put eternity into the heart of man, which means that if you try to numb your pain or deal with your pain by filling it with temporary things, it's never going to work and it's never going to last. There's one thing that can heal a heart from its pain. We're going to talk about what that looks like here in a little bit. But the third illusion that we can run to is that we can attack others, right? It's kind of the tough guy, the mean girl, right? That you say that pain doesn't affect you, right? You're like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? words will never hurt me, that's a lie, right? We all experience pain. And if you numb or just try to suppress that pain, here's what's going to happen, is that one day that is going to explode, right? Maybe you've experienced this already. Like your siblings are making fun of you. They're kind of messing with you. And then all of a sudden, one day, you just erupt on them, right? And you just explode, right? We can attack others if we don't deal with our pain healthily. Romans 12:17 says this, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. It's a command from Scripture not to repay evil for evil. But a lot of times, sometimes how we deal with our pain, like if you want to make fun of me, I'm going to make fun of you. You want to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Why? Because hurt people hurt people. And if you don't know how to deal with that pain, you're going to hurt other people around you. You're going to be led to attack them, right? Those are three really common unhealthy illusions that we try to create for ourselves. We try to mask it. We try to escape it. Or we can be led to attack others because of it. And so here's what we need to talk about for the remainder of our time this morning is, what is our right response? How do I deal with my pain? Okay? How do I deal with my pain according to God's word? Here's the first thing. Instead of masking your pain, acknowledge it. Instead of masking your pain and pretending that it's not there, acknowledge it. Raise your hand and say, guys, I am hurting right now. Like, I don't understand. Like, this feels heavy to me right now. What he just said to me, like, that hurt me. And here's what you need to know, that you are not weak if you admit your pain. You are not weak. You're not, in fact, you're not insecure even if you admit your pain. You're more secure if you can properly admit your pain and acknowledge it, right? And we see this constantly throughout the Scriptures. An example of this is the author of Psalm 42. Read with me verses 3-5. This is what he says, right? He says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? The author of this psalm, guys, what he does is that he acknowledges his pain. He acknowledges it. He's like, why is my soul cast down? What is this turmoil within me? What is this pain that I'm experiencing? But before God, he is able to raise his hand and say, God, this hurts. This hurts. And here's what you need to know. God can handle your questions. God can handle your pain. He's just saying, come to me. Acknowledge your pain to me. I want to help you work through that, right? So instead of masking it, you've got to acknowledge it. The second thing that you've got to do is, instead of escaping your pain and trying to run from it, you've got to inform your heart. Instead of escaping, you've got to inform. Look what the author does next in Psalm 42. Right after he is done saying, why are you downcast, O my soul? He speaks to his heart. And this is what he says. He says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Instead of following the pain which he's experiencing, he is willing to acknowledge it, and then he informs his heart and he just says, hope in God, right? I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God. What he's doing in this passage is that he is reminding himself, even in spite of the pain that he is experiencing, he's saying, I know God is good. I know I can trust him, even when I cannot see exactly what he's doing. He informs his heart. And so in the midst of the pain that you're experiencing, inform your heart. Remind yourself, this world that I am living in is not how God intended it to be. And I can trust him. I can trust his heart, even whenever I cannot see his hand maybe moving in my present circumstances. You can be confident that your pain is serving a purpose even whenever you don't see it. Some of y'all, I told you, if you were here last semester, my uncle was dealing with cancer. And this past May, he went home to be with the Lord. And here's what I would tell you about my uncle's life. Like, while no doubt that was painful and that hurt, and it was tragic for my family, here's what I would tell you, is that I got to watch my uncle inform his life according to God's word. And so let me be clear, the pain and suffering which he experienced, it is painful, it is hurtful, right? He acknowledged it, he was willing to be honest about where he was at, but more than that, he was willing to use his pain as a platform to declare God's goodness because he knew that he wasn't home yet. And right now, I'm confident and I have my hope, the fact that he's no longer experiencing any pain, right? What endured him in the midst of his pain was his ability to inform his heart that he wasn't home, right? And we can do the same. You can remind yourself, God is good. I can trust his word, and I can follow him even in the midst of a circumstance where I don't necessarily see his hand at work, right? So the third thing that we've got to do is that instead of attacking, include. Instead of attack, include. Here's what I mean by that. Whenever that you're experiencing pain, right? Instead of keeping that all to yourself, you've got to include other people. You've got to include other people. Galatians 6:2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a command in scripture, guys. In Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, right? And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. And so here's why we do small groups. And here's why small groups is the best thing that we do, is because it creates a place where a lot of people can come around you and help walk with you through pain if you share your pain, right? You cannot bear a pain that you don't know about, right? Nobody can bear a pain in your life or bear a burden alongside of you if they don't know about it, right? So what that means is that every one of you has a responsibility to share that with people, to include other people so that they can bear your burdens, right? And here's what began to happen in my life, is I had this duffel bag just full of hurt and pain, and it was heavy, and I was worrisome, and I was burdened, and I was tired, and I was ashamed, and I was guilty. And what began to happen in my life is that I, for the first time, began to allow other people to bear my burdens. And so it just looked like a group of people coming around, and they just take things out of your bag, and they just help you process through it. And hey, why do you try to find your identity in this? Why do you try to find your identity in sports? Why are you running to working out? Why are you doing all of those things? Until ultimately we get down to the source of it. And I realize I've never dealt with this hurt and this pain in my life. I've never actually dealt with these rocks, right? And so once I include them in that, they help me unpack all of that other stuff so that I can get down to the source, so that I can ultimately begin to work through my pain as they remind me of my identity in Christ. They remind me truth of God's word. And here's what happens, man. You just start to throw off these rocks. And guys, let me tell you, that burden gets really light, right? It just gets real light. And if you were to feel the weight of this bag right now, as opposed to what it just was, you'd be like, man, I'd much rather carry that bag than the other one, right? Unless you're strength training, maybe. I don't know. But here's the reality, is that the pain that you experience and the heaviness which some of you might be feeling, even right now in this room, you're never meant to deal with alone. Never meant to deal with it alone. Include other people. And so to close out this morning, we've talked about why pain exists, to show us that something is wrong. We've talked about our unhealthy illusions, that we can mask our pain, or that we can try to escape our pain, or that we can attack others because of our pain. And finally, our right response. What do we do in right response? Rather than masking our pain, we acknowledge it. Rather than trying to escape our pain, we inform our hearts in the midst of it according to God's word. And then finally, instead of attacking others, we include others. And so to conclude, I want to conclude with this. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, because I want you to realize something that God did, which is so crazy and wild. In the midst, the moment where all pain entered the world, look what God promised. From the very beginning, we've got to end with this, is that in the very moment that all pain entered into existence, God said this. In Genesis 3:15, he's talking to the serpent, the enemy, and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And so in the moment where all pain entered the world, what God did in that moment, he made a future promise. He made a future promise that his son would come down from heaven and endure the weight of all pain and suffering and the cost of sin in all of our lives on the cross, that he would endure it for all of eternity, right? He would endure separation from God and die and be hung from a cross and then be raised 3 days later so that we could have hope in the midst of our pain. God, in the moment where all pain existed, made a future promise that he said, I am going to come and make this all right again. Even though sin destroyed what I had designed, I'm going to come and make it right all again. Right? Through his son, Jesus. And here's what you need to know. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hold on to this promise from Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. It says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Listen to this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came and endured all of the pain and all of the suffering here in this world so that if you believe in him, you can be confident. You can stake your life upon the claim that you will one day, all of us, one day, if we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, be with him where there will be no more hurt and pain and suffering which we experience in our life. That alone is a source of hope. That alone is the identity that will change your life when you understand that truth. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity to open up the truth of your word and learn from it. Lord, that we can process how we deal with the hurt and the pain and the things that go wrong in the world and life that we live here on earth. And God, that pain reminds us that this world is not our home. Lord, that this world is not originally how you created it to be. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help me work through the pains and the hurts in my life and all of these students' lives from an identity that is rooted in Christ, from the hope that we have in your son, Jesus, that one day there will be no more suffering, there will be no more pain. But for right now, God, I pray that we would work through it, that we would acknowledge it, that we would inform our hearts and we would include others to help us walk through and navigate through it. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the promises that are in your word. And pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.